first reading on the sixth Sunday of Easter is from Acts chapter 16, verses 9 through 15. During the night, Paul had a vision of a man of Macedonia standing and begging him, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." After Paul had seen the vision, we got ready at once to leave for Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. From Troas, we put out to sea and sailed straight to Thamothrace. And the next day, we went on to Neapolis. From there, we traveled to Philippi, a Roman colony and the leading city of that district of Macedonia. And we stayed there several days. On the Sabbath, we went outside the city gate to the river, where we expected to find a place of prayer. We sat down and began to speak to the women who had gathered there. One of those listening was a woman from the city of Thyatira, named Lydia, a dealer in purple cloth. She was a worshiper of God. The Lord opened her heart to respond to Paul's message. When she and the members of her household were baptized, she invited us to her home. "If you consider me a believer in the Lord," she said, "come and stay at my house." And she persuaded us. This is the word of the Lord. Second reading is from Revelation chapter 21, verses 9 through 14 and 21 through 27. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, "Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb." And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain, great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. It shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great high wall with 12 gates and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were three gates on the east, three on the north, three on the south, and three on the west. The wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. 12 gates were 12 pearls, each gate made of a single pearl. The great street of the city was of gold, as pure as transparent glass. I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John. In that day you will no longer ask me anything. Very truly I tell you, my Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. Until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you will receive. Your joy will be complete. Though I have been speaking figuratively, a time is coming when I will no longer use this kind of language, but will tell you plainly about my Father. In that day you will ask in my name. I am not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf. No, the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came from God. I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father. Then Jesus' disciples said, "Now you are speaking clearly and without figures of speech. Now we can see that you know all things, and that you do not even need to have anyone ask you questions. This makes us believe that you came from God." "Do you believe now?" Jesus replied. "A time is coming, and in fact has come, when you will be scattered, each to your own home. You will leave me all alone, yet I am not alone, for my Father is with me. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thank you, God. Once more, I greet you in the ever-increasing name of Jesus Christ this morning. You know, we live in Florida, and we know that it rains a lot in Florida, except for maybe this week. Almost everything we do, usually, if we do it outdoors, we've got to plan for our rain contingency. Because we know that especially in the summertime and the springtime, that there is the chance that a storm will pop up and begin to rain. And so we plan for rain, don't we? I mean, we usually carry umbrellas around near us somewhere, right? If it starts to rain, we can pop up our umbrella and we can minimize getting wet. Although we might want the rain to stop, we can't control the weather. But when we pop up our umbrellas, we have the protection in the middle of our circumstances so that wetness, our wetness, is no longer a factor about where we go and what we do, right? Well, in a similar way, God opens His grace to us as a spiritual umbrella in this temporary world that we live in. Our spiritual umbrella is given to us by Jesus, by His death and then His resurrection. His spiritual umbrella allows us to overcome our circumstances so that we can stay dry in the middle of the showers of hardship and trouble and temptation. We can have victory even while others around us who may not have picked up their umbrella are getting wet. Jesus came to give us that protection, to give us that assurance that He will take care of us in the long run for eternity. You know, in our gospel lesson today, we see Jesus getting the disciples ready for His departure. Now, He said that He would be leaving them for a little while, 3 days to be exact, but then He would return to them for a short time. But even though He would be leaving them again after that physically, He would send to them His Holy Spirit. He would still be with them. And he wanted to reassure them that all would be well with them, even in the midst of the confusion and the chaos and the loss that they were about to experience. Folks, this lesson is for us too. We know that we live in a world filled with problems, right? Very great problems at that. When something bad happens to us, we shouldn't be surprised, should we? If we're surprised, we need to rethink our life. Because there are some people that just want this Pollyanna-type life, you know? That kind of life where nothing bad happens, right? And when something does happen to them, they seem surprised. But Jesus is very clear in our gospel lesson today. He doesn't paint a rosy picture of what we're going to experience here in this temporary life, does He? I mean, in our gospel lesson today from John 16, He said, "I have told you these things so that in Me you may have peace. In the world you will have trouble." He doesn't want us to be surprised. He doesn't want us to be defeated when this world turns against us on occasion. Nor does He want us to be waiting so passively, waiting for our entry into heaven, that we don't think that there's anything for us to do to improve here in the temporary life that we live in, right? You know, those people that some person had said, those people are too heavenly minded to be any earthly good, right? Yeah, He wants us to long for heaven, yes. He wants us to long for the heaven that we see kind of portrayed in our second lesson today. But he also wants us to realize that this is not it, right? This is not heaven. Heaven is to come, but it's not now. Therefore, unpleasant things will happen to us. Storms will pop up on us on occasion in this life. And he wants us to be informed about that. And he wants us to know that he will protect us in those cases. It's kind of a balance. Jesus wants to give us strength for when those storms do come, but he also wants to counterbalance the disappointments and the challenges that we're going to face. He told us, in this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. Jesus was preparing his disciples, and he prepares us for the trying times to come in our life too. Now, Jesus knew and was telling his disciples that he would be arrested. He would be, you know, tried and tortured and killed even. He knew his disciples would run away in fear of their own lives. But he told them that he would return to them. He would return to them in a way in which they would never have to fear physical death again. In fact, when they received the Holy Spirit on that Pentecost, they lived without fear of physical death from then on. Consider what Paul wrote in Romans chapter 8. He said, "For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself would be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God." You know, when I read that, it kind of reminded me of what Jesus said. You know, it was sort of, to me, a paraphrase of what Jesus was saying. Because Jesus said, in this world you will have trouble. That sounds a lot like what Paul said. For the creation was subjected to frustration. Creation is no longer perfect. Rainstorms will come on us. We shouldn't be surprised when that happens. And yet I hear people say, "I can't believe that God allowed that to happen to me," as if they were immune from any bad thing that would happen. We still live in an imperfect creation. As Peter, one of the apostles, wrote in his first letter, he said, "Dear friends, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal that has come on to you to test you, as though something strange were happening to you." The disciples, including Peter, knew what a tough road ahead they had. But did that stop them? Did that defeat them? Did that throw them off? No. Why? Because of what Jesus and Paul said next. Jesus said, "But take heart, I have overcome the world." And if we go back to what Paul was saying in Romans, he said, "For the creation was subject to frustration in the hope that the creation itself will be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into the freedom and glory of the children of God." Jesus came to liberate mankind from the bondage to the decay of sin that we created ourselves. Jesus came to overcome this world. Jesus came to bring freedom and glory to us, children of God. Hallelujah for that. But until we reach that new home one day, we need help in this life, right? Storms are still going to come on us. We should expect them just like we expect the rain showers in Florida. But Jesus has given us the assurance umbrella that protects us in these storms. It's called His grace. And we know that His grace is powerful. In Paul's second letter to the Corinthians in chapter 12, Paul was asking God to take away this thorn in his flesh, this malady. We don't know exactly what it is. But he was asking God to take it away because it was a source of frustration for him. In fact, he asked God to take it away three times. But God told him this. He said, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness." And so, did Paul complain about it some more? Did he whine about it? Did he say, "You know, I just can't go on being your ambassador to these people"? No, he didn't do that. As a matter of fact, Paul was strengthened by the knowledge that God gave him about that weakness. Because Paul wrote this, he said, "Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses, so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then I am strong." How many of us can take that attitude when one of the rain showers comes upon us? We have to understand that God works well with us in hardships, in weaknesses. And you know, in those times where we aren't, where something bad is happening to us. Why? Well, for one thing, we're more receptive to His help at those times, to His leading. You know, when everything's going fine with us, we have a tendency, as humans do, to say we don't need any help. Right? Everything's fine, including God's help. We may not overtly say that or think that, but that's what we do when we don't include Him in our plans, when we fail to ask for His guidance in our lives. I can do this myself. I can get through this myself. We pride ourselves on being self-sufficient, on being independent, don't we? But when we realize that we can't control the weather, we can't control the circumstances that we're in, and the rain keeps coming, and we're getting wet, what do we do? Do we blame God for the rain? Or do we open the umbrella assurance of His grace that He gave us? Think about what God's done for us. He created us, right? He created this world that we live in. He allowed us and gave us the way to sustain ourselves here, right? He gave us His Son to redeem us through His grace. And that grace is the assurance that should settle our minds in the midst of our storms, just like the umbrella when it's raining. God must think we're worth a lot to do all of that for us. But many people have this, you know, they kind of buy into this false line of reasoning that we shouldn't be dependent on anybody else. You know, even the world tells us that if you're depending on somebody else, you're weak. And then what happens? We try to do everything ourselves. We reject the higher power, right? And then we do try to do it ourselves. And then comes worry. And then comes fear of failure, and then inevitably comes failure. And after that comes depression, and after that comes despondency, and after that comes breakdown, and after that comes collapse. At that time, when we have no other option, we're more open to God helping us, aren't we? We're more open to God leading us in the way that we should go. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians 1, he said, "It is because of God that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption." His grace to us through Jesus is our assurance that regardless of all the storms in our lives, we are protected in eternal life. That's our umbrella. And now another reason that God comes to us and works well in our weaknesses is so that He can show His strength. God looks for the weak. He looks for the lowly. He looks for the foolish and despised, especially in the people that He wants to do something for Him, the people that He wants to lead and make leaders out of. I mean, think of Paul himself. Paul was very much despised as a persecutor of Christians. But God chose him to be the ambassador, His ambassador for Jesus to the Gentiles. And all during his ministry, what else? He was despised. He was scorned. He was persecuted. And he was even physically weak with this thorn in the flesh that we talked about. God would not take away that malady, but He used it to make Paul stronger. God showed His mighty power by transforming a person that was an enemy of God into one of His greatest champions. Who today is weak because of a physical ailment that we've been battling for a long time and asking God to take it away so that they can live a full life again? Or maybe it's some kind of emotional weakness that we have that we've asked God to remove from us so that we could be more productive. Or maybe we're weak because of a financial situation that we might find ourselves in, and we're praying that we can get through it so we can live a better life and not be afraid. Precisely when we're in that weakened state, if we humble ourselves to God's will and we're receptive to His leading, we can receive His full measure of grace, which Paul recognized is sufficient. Like Paul, we may not be delivered from our situation, but we will be used for God's greater purposes. Because God wants us to be His messengers in this world. He has work for us to do. Just like Paul went out there and went to Macedonia to preach the gospel, and he brought Lydia and other people into knowing about Jesus and believing in Jesus. That's what God wants us to do. You know, Jesus didn't promise us a rosy life. As a matter of fact, He promised us the opposite. In this world, you will have trouble. Let's recognize the umbrella that we have, that Jesus covers us with, His grace. Let's let Jesus take our weaknesses and our vulnerabilities and turn them into strengths. Those who don't know the loving arms of our Savior fear when those stormy times come. We can show them that they have the protection of Jesus too. And because we recognize that this life that we're living in is just a part, a small part of our eternal life. Stormy times for us is like God saying to us, don't worry. I'm protecting you so that you'll be ready to receive the magnificent reward that I am already preparing for you. And so today, we thank Him for His wisdom. We thank Him for that assurance that He gives us, that umbrella, which is His grace given us through our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Him for showing us His strength in the midst of our weaknesses. While our own strength of resolve in this world may run out, His strength to bring us through this life will never run out. Hallelujah. Because Jesus has overcome the world, and He will help us overcome it too. We can have the assurance, just like we heard in our scripture lessons, that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Hallelujah. Amen.